Diary: Christian Education in Our Schools. September 1st, 1903. Typed. The study of the Bible in our schools will give the students special advantages. From its study, they will receive moral power. Those who receive in their hearts the holy principles of Bible truth will work with increasing energy. No circumstances can alter their determination to attain to the highest standard possible. And that which they have received, they will impart to others. As they themselves drink from the fountain of living waters, from them will flow living streams that will bless and refresh others. The diligent Bible student will constantly increase in knowledge and discernment. His intellect will grasp elevated subjects and lay hold of the truth of eternal realities. His motives of action will be right. He will use his talent of influence to help others with whom he is associated more perfectly to understand their God-given responsibilities. His heart will be a wellspring of joy as he sees success attend his efforts to impart to others the blessings he has received. The talent of knowledge, sanctified and put to use in the Master's service, is never lost. A self-sacrificing effort to do good will be crowned with success. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. God will cooperate with the human worker. To him is to be given the praise and the glory for what we are able to accomplish. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12-13. The Lord is dishonored by the deterioration of the perversion of the talents he has entrusted to men. It is the duty and the privilege of the Christian to improve his talents. Christ gave his life to purchase for man the privilege of being co-workers with God. Yet thousands who have received much light and many opportunities do not grasp the blessings that are within their reach. That education only is wholesome and essential, which leads to a knowledge of the value that God has placed upon mankind. The students in our schools are to be taught that they are of value in the sight of God, that they have been bought with an infinite price. They should be made to realize the importance of putting to a right use every faculty of their being. They are to put on Christ, and all their powers should be put to persevering, taxing labor in His service. The students are to be taught to help those who need encouragement. As they seek to help others, they themselves will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their efficiency will be increased. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. You will fulfill the purpose of God for you only as you increase in knowledge and return to God in earnest service the gifts you have received from Him. Much more may be done than has been done to secure an all-round education in physical and intellectual accomplishments. Let every student, with an eye single to the glory of God, taking for his motto, "I study for time and for eternity." If he studies with the right purpose, he will be successful. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verse 8-10. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. John 1, verse 14-16. No system of education can be thorough without the teaching of the principles of physiology. The students should become familiar with the laws of the working of the human machinery. The Lord would have every man become intelligent in regard to the laws of health, and know that he cannot safely trifle with the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It is important to understand the workings of the physical structure and to realize that we are Christ's property, bought with an infinite price. Teachers and students in our schools, I appeal to you to fulfill your obligation to obey the laws of God respecting the treatment of your own bodies. All who transgress physical law must suffer the sure consequences. Learn to reason from cause to effect. He who disregards dietetic laws abuses his privileges. Nature may bear long with him, but after a time, the advisor's eyes of the body will no longer bear up under the strain. Christ, the second Adam.
Christ took upon himself humanity and laid down his life a sacrifice, that man, by becoming a partaker of the divine nature, might have eternal life. Not only was Christ the sacrifice, but he was also the priest who offered the sacrifice. The bread that I will give, said he, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6, verse 51. He was innocent of all guilt. He gave himself in exchange for the people who had sold themselves to Satan by transgression of God's law. His life for the life of the human family, who thereby became his purchased possession. Therefore doth the Father love me, said Christ, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 10, verse 17, 18. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. To Adam before his fall, the Lord said, In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, verse 17. If you transgress my law, death will surely be your punishment. By disobeying God's command, he forfeited his life. Before his fall, Adam was free from the results of the curse. When he was assailed by the tempter, none of the effects of sin were upon him. He was created perfect in thought and in action. But he yielded to sin and fell from his high and holy estate. Christ, the second Adam, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In man's behalf, he became subject to sorrow, to weariness, to hunger, and to thirst. He was subject to temptation, but he yielded not to sin. No taint of sin was upon him. He declared, I have kept my Father's commandments in my earthly life. John 15, verse 10. He had infinite power only because he was perfectly obedient to his Father's will. The second Adam stood the test of trial and temptation, that he might become the owner of all humanity.